I just found a song called Stepchild. I'm going to have to give it a try. I feel like I'm raising an internal stepchild. And then we're just going to have a French blast.
Thank you. Ha!
Hear those two tones from the one horn and the other that were the same? It's like a lemon bar actually equally filled with sugar from end to end.
De misère, dis-moi, Marie, pourquoi le silence s'agrandit? Est-ce parce qu'on vieillit? Ne dirait-on pas qu'il n'est plus temps? Et le temps de tant d'enfance où nous allions sous les branches me revient comme un présent. Parce que c'est de vivre pour tant qu'on
I'm not gonna complain about the equipment here, but I will say, fuck it!
You have your invitation to come out and play. Now you need to find your guide, an instructor who will take you aloft and show you the beauty that most people never see. You'll experience a sunset from new angles, be introduced to the power of the wind, and discover that in order to fly, it's best to take a lesson on railroading. But to begin with, you'll need to make a decision, an executive decision. Over the phone was polite and to the point. Someone who was comfortable solving problems through logical research and smooth implementation of a well-reasoned plan. I knew this couldn't be one of my pilot friends. Her name was Susan, and her father, Vic, kept his Luscombe in the hangar behind mine. He'd occasionally take her for a ride, so her request sounded reasonable. "I want to learn to land an airplane," she said, "just in case something happens." She made it sound like enrolling in CPR class. This was a skill to be acquired but never used. She explained that she had no interest in learning to fly, only how to return safely to the Earth should something happen. We agreed on a 3-lesson package and Mayoraka champed so many dollars for just enough skill to survive and nothing more. Tuesday afternoon, we met at the hangar, where I walked her through a pre-flight with the basic what makes what do what and why there's no radio. She took notes on a legal pad while I wiped oil on my pants when I couldn't find a rag. She knew that old airplanes don't start with keys, so wasn't shocked when I spun the propeller by hand. She set the throttle where I said to and pushed the rudders exactly as instructed to taxi. It was a cool day, and the airplane performed beautifully. Another flight instructor might say that was caused by denser air, but I suspected it was the result of an airplane trying to impress a non-believer. We practiced turns and then slowed until the cockpit was almost quiet with a cold wind slipping through the open window. She briefly stuck her hand outside to feel the sky, and as we descended, she looked where our shadow drifted across barren trees and fields. Following the 2-lane highway that snakes up from Missouri, she no doubt also saw the deer as they came out of the woods to feed. I pointed to a hawk, but she already spotted it and watched it slide beneath our wing, giving us a tolerant nod in passing. On landing, Susan stretched to look past the airplane's nose as the tail settled onto the dead grass. Back at the hangar, she opened her day planner and asked, "How's Thursday and Friday look for you?" I've always liked Thursdays and Fridays, so I agreed to meet her again, and she left. By the end of the third and final lesson on Friday, Susan made decent, more than survivable landings and had fulfilled her goal to be able to land should something happen to her father. She was safe, and I'd earned my fee. But as the sunlight faded to the afterglow of flight, something happened to Susan. It happens to all those who approach flight thinking it possible to convince an airplane that your plans really matter. "I want to learn to fly," she said, in a voice more confident than the one that had requested simply to learn to land. Something indeed had happened, but now all the goals had changed.
Thank you. Come on.